hey, the peach looks too much like a butt. Let's change the peach.
Do you think they have it looking more like a peach? I don't know if Apple's setting out to make a butt emoji.
Well, I think someone at Apple in the emoji department has a sense of humor because clearly the eggplant is a weenie, right?
I think they're ashamed at what the emoji game has turned
That's
into.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, so, who would have thought in a million years, oh, everybody's going to use the eggplant for a penis?
Well, there had to be someone along the way to look at that and go, you know, guys, that looks like a dong.
You thought it looked like a dong?
The first time I saw it, yeah.
Okay.
It looks like an eggplant.
Eggplants look like dongs.
I never thought that.
I've never seen an eggplant that looks like a dong. I've never seen a dong that's like 9 inches thick.
I had eggplants in my garden.
Have you met my friend Dennis?
By the way, this is the exact kind of conversation you're going to hear on the crowded table tomorrow on The Bone from 6 to 8.
Which is exactly why we wanted to have these guys in.
Yeah, it's 102.5 The Dong Radio with these guys.
our friends at the crowded table, Jake, Dennis, and John, are going to be doing tomorrow, 6 to 8, your very first time together on 102.5 The Bone. How do you feel about that, gentlemen?
I feel great about it. I'm ready to go. You know, I think it's pretty much what we've been doing all along, a little cleaned up, but I think we have a great chemistry, and I think we're all feeling pretty confident about it. And we are entitling it The Crowded Takeover. Since we decided not to call it The Crowded Table for now, for whatever reason, that is what we're entitling our two-hour show that will debut tomorrow night on The Bone.
It's not a makeover. It's a takeover.
Yes. That works, yeah.
All right.
I like that.
So, Seth, do we want to run these guys through the ringer, have them try out some stuff on us?
I mean, I would love to know what kind of topics they have planned for their two-hour FM debut tomorrow.
Whoa, plans.
All impressions the whole time.
Perfect. Perfect, because we tried that very successfully this week, and it went smashingly.
You can't go full-on organic, because Mo has that format covered.
Mo's already got the, I don't do prep, I'm going to invite listeners as guests.
That can't be improved on.
I would think that we land somewhere between Mo and Seth as far as as
so does everyone. There's like, that's like saying I go somewhere between A and C. Because Seth is overprepped and Mo is not prepped, so everyone falls somewhere on that spectrum.
Well, I mean, this is so much different from a podcast because you're going to have access to callers. You're going to have an immediate reaction from people on Twitter. You're going to find out just how many people listen to The Bone.
Yeah, just how many people do hate you, which
is
what we find out.
Yeah, that is the one thing that I won't say I'm concerned about, but, you know, I've never really been
John doesn't take criticism well.
Yeah, I've never been victim to serious hate, so I'm expecting that fully tomorrow, so I'm prepping.
Actually, what advice would you give him? Because I've told him just keep the mute button ready, but he's like, he's never been good at that.
You can't ask me because after 20-something years in radio, I'm still not good at it. So I am horrible at taking criticism. So Seth is the guy to ask because I can't take it.
You're going to be so busy tomorrow during the show that you're not going to be looking at Twitter and for feedback as much as you think you are.
That is true. You'll be so – it'll go by so quickly and you'll be so enveloped in it that – you'll be completely engrossed, and it's going to be over before you even know it.
That's my plan. I mean, I'm not offended by what people say, and people don't hurt me. I just always want to get the last word.
Of course.
I want that person to know that what they said didn't hurt me and that I got them back. It's not that I'm
by giving them the attention that they wanted.
Boy, and you know how I learned to get over that? I didn't. I still
So, I mean, you've made it this far, so maybe I'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can carry it with you because I still feel like I'm going to win or somehow prove them wrong. When in actuality, if they're consuming your product, you're already winning.
Correct. And everybody loses when you get into a fight online.
Yes. The minute you engage, you are losing. And I say that knowing that I'm going to engage and lose.
We've maybe had like one or two criticisms already, and I just have to sit back and watch Twitter as John goes back and forth with the guy for an hour and a half.
Don't get caught up in the back and forth.
But then I have to call. I have to then call him and be like, dude, stop replying to this guy. Just let it go.
You know, I got to stand up for myself, man. Yeah. I'm sorry. You got to be a little
bitch. But what do you win?
I don't win anything, but I also don't want this person to win either.
You lose valuable time in your short life, John, when you're going back and forth with these idiots that don't like you because you're not going to change their mind. That's the whole thing.
I feel like they're talking to me while they're talking to you, John.
Yeah,
listen,
thank you.
You got to do the show you want
to
do.
And that's exactly what we are going to do, and I'm sure there will be a semi-large amount of people who may not like it.
He's already very defensive. Yeah.
You're rallying him up already.
Listen to him. Good, perfect.
John, just do what I do. Create a fake account and then attack people back on that.
All right, so let's pretend like we're out of the shoot. Like, you guys, we're coming into the show. It's the first hour tomorrow. What are you on, 6 to 8?
Oh, you wanted to do their
just their opening segment. I want to like.
Well, we can't spoil our opening segment.
Well, I mean, don't pick the exact topic you're going to do.
This is on our. We get bonused on this time. You want to turn it over?
I just like a couple of minutes. I want to hear.
Minutes?
I want to see if we can help them along the way.
How about we don't give you our first segment?
Right.
But we'll give you a little bit of taste of some of the things we do.
You want some music coming in?
No, we don't need any of that. Welcome back to 102.5 The Bone. This is The Crowded Takeover. I am John Senning. We like to think that women have a soft spot for
our show,
the three of us. So we do something called One for the Girls.
And essentially
what it is that any questions that a female might have for men in general, we like to sit here and answer them as well as we can, and we would invite any men out there to call in as well, 727-579-1025. Or if you're a female who would like to build on this or possibly ask us another question, feel free to give us a call as well.
That's a strong host.
Yeah.
Very strong.
The question that we're going to go into right now, and gentlemen, feel free to pitch in if you'd like. If you are having sex to make a baby,
right,
do you perform differently than if you didn't?
Like, if you weren't trying to have a kid, is your sexual performance changed?
Do you change up your moods?
I don't pull out.
Mood different?
that's what I would think, too.
That probably makes it easier.
It just has to end differently.
On the surface, I would say that I wouldn't, but considering I've spent my entire life not wanting to make a baby, I do think that if I was in that situation where I was attempting to make a baby, that my performance would be much more powerful.
Well, I will say that it was more clinical. I knew the moment that I was going to conceive. Yeah, we had kind of talked about
it. Your shot?
Yeah, we had talked about it a little bit, and we had reached a point where we said that if we were going to have a baby, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. So there we are going at it, and she said she knew that my thing was imminent because we had been doing it for 2 minutes. And she said, well, you know, now in the midst of it, she said, well, now's kind of a good time if, you know, you wanted to do that. I go, do you? And she goes, I don't know, do you? Yeah. And so I said, I guess. So then very clinically, I was like, okay. And then.
So you decided in that moment that you wanted to make a baby.
In that moment, I'll tell you, that's when she got pregnant. And 9 months of that day, we had our son.
Well, personally for me, and this really is horrible because my girlfriend's sitting right behind me. But
you're not going to have a baby with her, let's be honest.
But I think that I would change from being a dirty person who likes to pull hair and stuff like that to be more loving if I'm trying to make a child,
if
right?
If you know you're making a baby, maybe you wouldn't say the nasty things or do some of the dirtier things that you would do if you knew that this was going to lead to your potential child.
I mean, I know I would keep the food out of the bedroom like I sometimes like if it's baby time.
You want your baby to be born in an environment of love,
right?
Not an environment of, you dirty little whore, you like that, don't you?
Exactly.
Yeah. You read my mind. Have you been in the room with me?
Yes, I
have.
And
when I think back,
sex club.
I don't like to think about it often, but when I do think about, you know, what it was like when my parents made me, I would hope that it was a very sensual experience with them, just experiencing love, you know, and not anything,
yeah,
like in a bathroom.
I also like to think about your mom in a sensual way.
I love thinking
about
that.
What about the thing where girls say that they know the instant it happens, like that particular, like what you were talking about? Do you think that's real, where they know it's like there's something physically changed?
Sure.
Or is it just...
Thank you, young lady. Appreciate that. She just dropped off a bunch of stuff. Do you want to come get a hug? You want to come get some of this? Yeah, come on. All right, good. Well, then get over here.
Why don't you ask her about making a baby sex?
It's a tall drink of water. That's how I like them. All right.
By the way, we're still out here.
So now you like tall women.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, you want to reach that, Jake, and
hey,
tell people where we are?
I was going for it, man. We're still at the Walmart out here in Lutz. We are accepting canned food, also dog food or pet food in general for the Humane Society. So come on by. We're taking turkeys.
And cash donations.
Okay, yeah, we will also take cash donations, although I can't say where that will end up.
Who's handling the cash? Because I've seen some checks and some cash.
I've seen it been bouncing around a little bit. I'm hoping to get tipped out by the end of
it. She does seem to have the majority of the cash on her.
Seth, she's looking for a hug
from you.
Putting
in her bra.
Oh, really?
Though.
Okay.
Yeah,
let me go.
She's definitely looking for a hug from you, too.
Ooh, nice.
Tall drink of water with a very nice hug
on
her.
I'm still looking out for that woman's husband to come back up here and just take us all out.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the angle.
Talking about old Mason
Dixon? Flag. Yeah, I forgot about Mason
Dixon. I saw the husband. He was a pretty small guy. I mean, even I could take it.
That was not a husband. She was with some other woman.
Yeah,
oh.
That was a woman?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a mistake on my part.
The woman that was with that woman, yeah, was a woman.
Oh, was that?
That's a quote of the day. The woman that was with that woman was a woman. 727-579-1025 is our number. We've got our guys on the Crowded Takeover. They will be on this radio station for the very first time as a group from 6 to 8 tomorrow evening. We hope that you will listen and critique them harshly.
Yes, please. I will make sure to respond to you on Twitter immediately.
Do you find that you get worse criticism on Twitter or Facebook? Because whenever I look at the Bone page, I feel Facebook is a darker place.
Facebook can be a darker place. I don't think as many people go to Facebook to give reaction as they do on Twitter. I find Twitter to be extremely interactive. I mute so many people that I don't see a lot of the criticism anymore. I learned that from Seth. Like, I used to block. But when you block someone, you're giving them the satisfaction of knowing that you read their tweet.
Yeah.
If you mute them, they have no idea. They'll continue to tweet at you having no idea that they're tweeting into the nether.
I think I might be so sick that I can't even do that because then I'm wondering, is this person talking bad about me?
Right.
I need to unmute them so I can find out.
You'll
so
get there.
I have a
this is going to be a rough ride.
Yeah. I might be retired by next weekend.
You'll let stuff get you. I have only embraced this mute thing within the last year or so because I used to be the exact same way. I would block someone. And then I go to their account to see if they're
saying. I mean, I've done
that
recently. Yeah. So, I mean, I know it's not going to get any better.
It's not healthy.
I blocked somebody yesterday.
You did?
Yeah. I tweeted out that picture of me and Taylor Swift, and they did that thing where they zoom in on your face. And
that's the best. But that's funny, though. Yeah.
It's funny to them. It's not funny to me after a long day on the job, Dennis.
It's your face, though.
Did you get upset at the two friends of ours who put together memes of you and Taylor Swift?
Dude, I mean, listen. I've seen it all with the picture of me and Taylor Swift. I understand a lot of it stems from jealousy, so I don't get mad at people taking out their anger on me.
It's pretty funny. So Jake, Dennis, and John will be on this radio station tomorrow at 6. Yes?
Oh, I was going to say they killed 3 minutes, but they have 2 hours to go tomorrow night.
Yeah, they didn't give us their A material.
I mean, we definitely have a lot of stuff prepped up. I had a conversation with Seth the other day. We're prepping hardcore for this.
You have to.
Yeah, you really do, because it's going to go by really quickly. The topics are going to go by like that, and before you know it, you'll be on 10 of your 15
Well,
things.
And when I say we're prepping hardcore for this, I mean I'm prepping hardcore for this. These two guys aren't doing too much.
Oh, look at this. Yeah. Which is exactly how Seth feels most of the time. So I guess we're on the right track.
It's absolutely true. I see we have a call coming in from our resident conspiracy guy, Bob Tuscan. Tuscan, what is happening? Welcome to Drew Garabo Live. We are at the Walmart in Lutz collecting food, dog food, etc. for Metropolitan Ministries, and then the dog food, of course, for the Pinellas County Humane Society. What's up, Tuscan?
I was hoping, geez, you scared me for a second, because you know, Drew, that the elites want us to be dogs. They want to feed us the dog food. They don't want us to eat, and that's why this is so important that we feed people, because people who are fed will not revolt against the Illuminati. Now, this is very important. The crowded table or whatever the rebranding is, you guys need to be my fix on the weekends for real conspiracy stuff. You know, John, I've heard you mention some things in the past. I'm counting on you, brother. You got to do it. You got to bring conspiracy talk to the bone.
Yeah, I tried that one time, and I almost started a race war. So I think I might lay low on that a little bit. Maybe a little Sasquatch thrown in there, but I don't know. Jake is really the tip of the spear these days.
Oh, listen, man, Soylent Green is made of people. So.
Hey, Tuscan, what are you having for your Thanksgiving feast?
Well, we do grass-fed turkey and fluoride-free stuffing, as well as GMO-free whatever. You know, I too have the major predicament of deciding whether or not I want to spend Thanksgiving with my family. Now, if you think Seth Kushner and others have a hard time dealing with the typical Thanksgiving grief from your Jewish in-laws or your Jewish parents, imagine a conspiracy freak like myself who has Jewish parents that want to talk about Dancing with the Stars or what Seinfeld episode they watched in 1998. It drives me insane.
Well, I didn't know that your relatives would be so engrossed in the lamestream media, Tuscan, but it's always good to hear from you, and I hope we hear from you next week before we take off.
Bye.
That's exactly what it is. Take it easy. There's Tuscan.
Hey.
Any Bigfoot chat tomorrow? Yes, Dennis?
Well, speaking of the Thanksgiving dinner, my mom's going out of town, so I'm pretty much on my own this Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Is it weird? No, I'm not trying to invite myself to your Thanksgiving. Is it weird if I go by myself to one of those, like, buffet places?
No, it's not weird.
Just
no,
eat.
Dude.
You
got to eat. Yeah.
No, that's weird.
It's not weird. It's
You'll
sad.
See a lot of weird people like yourself. But, yeah. I mean,
but maybe we can make, like, our own family, right?
No.
That part is weird. Oh, okay. Like, it wasn't weird until you said that.
Like a family dinner with strangers.
No.
What's Haley doing? She doesn't want to come and have Thanksgiving with you?
She's going to her parents' place.
Oh, you're not
going with your parents?
Bold statement, my friend. Very bold
What's
statement.
What's up with
that? They're Facebook official, by the way, so they're not even.
Not for long.
No, she invited me to her parents' place.
But you said
so you declined.
Well, I didn't decline, as opposed to I just don't know that I'll be able to make it.
Why not? But you can make it on your own to go to Shoney's.
Well, I love a Shoney's, but, my mom's going out of town, and we do have a house with, like, four dogs and two cats, so I have to take care of the animals.
You guys don't take care of your animals.
Yeah. Well, that's not true. We take care of our animals.
So you would rather eat by yourself.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I think that's my only option, and I'm wondering if that's okay.
You could come hang out with my family, maybe. My parents might think you're weird.
Are they coming down or to Orlando?
So you mean something like the dogs can't be by themselves for, what, 4 hours? 3-4 hours?
Man, you guys are asking me some really tough questions. I also want to make sure. Listen, I also want to make sure I'm here for Black Friday. If you don't know, Black Friday starts at 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving now.
Does her family live in New Zealand?
No, they live in Sarasota, though.
Why don't you want to go?
That's a drive.
So you can bang their daughter, but you can't get a meal.
I mean, it is blatantly clear that you are avoiding.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a bold statement you're making, and I do respect that. But just to own the fact that you're making a very bold statement of, we're not at a point yet where I want to spend major holidays with you.
That's not what I'm saying. I've met her mom before.
What you're saying is I never want to have sex ever again.
There's a big difference between meeting her mom before and having a holiday dinner at her mom's house. It's okay if you're not there.
You
had
like a double date with her mom one time, right? Isn't that what happened?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm pretty sure that's
how long have you guys been going steady for?
How long have we been together?
Oh, see,
who says going steady?
Seth does.
I don't know, like officially, I don't know. Like,
I mean, if we really want to dig in, they were going steady for an extended period of time, and then due to some reason, they had a falling out of sorts where they were no longer together, and then there was this intermingling where they weren't really together but were, and then sometime over the past few weeks, they become Facebook official. So there's obviously, you know, issues with Dennis wanting to commit to her long term.
Find all the details, by the way, at One Crowded Table on Twitter.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you listen to the podcast, he really puts her through the ringer. I think the least he can do is go and meet her family. If that's what she wants.
But he's not ready for that yet.
You've used her for so much content on the podcast, I think that all you can do is meet her family if that's what she's looking for.
Does she listen to the podcast?
Oh, God, I hope not.
I think off and on. Like, right. Whenever she listens, she then gets mad and so she stops listening.
Wow. This is very weird.
And she does not want to comment on the radio, which I totally understand. I asked her to join us.
Yeah, we're just scratching the surface, I think,
of what's
really going on.
I would be embarrassed of my boyfriend if I was her.
Yeah. By the way, we are low on canned beans, canned yams, starches, and cereal. So if you are coming out here to the food drive for Metropolitan Ministries, we are low on canned beans, canned yams, starches, and cereal. I don't know what type of cereal would be most appropriate, but I would assume Lucky Charms are magically delicious.
Cocoa Puffs.
Cocoa Puffs. I go cuckoo for those things. Silly Rabbit Tricks are for kids.
Apple Jacks.
Apple Jacks are always good. A is for Apple J.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch,
an all-time classic. Frosty Flakes.
King Vitamin. Anybody know about King Vitamin?
No.
Count Chocula?
Okay. Count Chocula, delicious. Can't usually find it outside the they might have some left over from Halloween.
You got to go eBay.
But the monster cereals, they tend to fade after Frankenberry as well, and Yummy Mummy and Fruit Brute.
Is Hoppy upset that you guys are getting 2 hours?
Oh, I would imagine.
I did not even think.
I mean, because Hoppy wanted to fight.
And I will tell you.
Some people say that.
This is nothing about. And we are going to. Jake has not talked about the fight on our podcast or anything. So we will dig into that a little bit for the first time on the show as well, if anybody cares. But, you know, I was with Hoppy last Friday when we made the announcement on the air. So that was an awkward encounter. He was sitting next to me when we made that announcement.
And was he just burning?
I don't really know. I don't want to put words in his mouth or anything. But, you know, I definitely think it lit a fire under him and made him kind of look at things a little differently.
And did Jake light cigarettes with that fire that was burning?
Sorry, Jake.
Oh, hey, listen.
I'm sorry.
Okay. He's.
I do know that Hoppy.
By the way, Nikki, let me know if you'd like one.
Damn, because she burns heaters. Oh, there she is. She flicked off a guy by a car.
I do know that Hoppy has come around to pretty much each of us individually and said, man, what are you guys doing that's like so different from me that's getting you on the air?
I would say it's not what you're doing, it's what you're not doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not being Hoppy.
Right. Right. And oh, here he comes.
Oh, he's right.
Yeah, he's good. All right, somebody give up their stuff.
I got you.
No.
Take mine.
So Ryan Hoppy is going to come around and talk to these guys on the crowded table.
Take it, Hoppy.
Now, Ryan, the guys in the crowded table are going to be doing 6 to 8 tomorrow.
Very nice. Good job.
Thanks, buddy.
Oh, look at his face. He rolled his eyes while he did it.
What the heck, man? I'm over here trying to keep it civil, saying that everything was cool, and now I feel like, man.
Folks, I'm happy for you guys. I like that we have live talk radio on the weekend. I'm happy for you guys. You guys do a very genuine show. You work hard. I've just been up a long time. I'm tired. I'm literally happy for you guys. You guys have worked your butt off, John.
Thank you.
You've been at this a minute. Dennis works really hard on Bone TV, and Jake is a Jake of all trades, as he said before. I'm happy for you guys. People think I'm jealous or it's negative. I like live talk radio. It's going to be great to hear you guys.
I would say there would be something wrong with you if it didn't like piss you off just a little bit. Because I'm just saying,
I'm annoyed, but I'm biting my tongue. It's one of those things where I'm just going to keep grinding. I'm being quiet about it.
Well, what would you say if you didn't bite your tongue?
Yeah, like if you weren't holding back right now, kind of what would you say?
You want me to be honest, Drew?
Yeah, but don't shake the tent down like you're doing right now. I'm worried you're going to go off King Kong on us. Happy man!
Here's my thing, and I'm really happy for you guys that you guys are getting on air. Like, I have no problem.
Here we go.
The thing is, you have this great chance to be on the 19th biggest market in radio. Like, anybody would aspire for this moment. I would aspire for this moment. And what I heard you guys are going to be talking about, I'm like, really? That's what you're beginning with? It's just my take. I'm a wannabe goofy radio nerd. But to me, with this big opportunity you have, the topic you're beginning with, when I heard it, I was like, it's kind of hacky.
Well, just my opinion.
Oh, there it is.
That's not really the topic we're beginning with.
Yeah, that was just their trial run.
I mean, what would you begin with?
I would begin by introducing myself to Tampa, talking about
what they already know who we are.
Yeah, Tampa knows you.
But Tampa doesn't know who the real me is.
You want to know what I would do if you? I would, like, rant for 30 minutes about how millennials don't respect,
I actually had this comedian named Zach Townsend on the show.
You had Zach Townsend?
Yeah, exactly. You heard we got a spot, and then the next day you added a co-host.
I've been actually meaning to add a co-host to the show because I talked to John Brennan, and he said he wanted to see what I could do with a person next to me. And I've also been doing the show for a year and a half, and it's reached this dead point where I need a co-host, and I see that every good show in radio has a co-host. Even when Drew did In Your Face, he took calls. He had co-hosts. I do a show by myself where I rant for an hour. I need a co-host. So this whole fake thing we're having right now where the whole day we've been getting along.
Yeah, that was the thing. You kind of started it, I will say. You did kind of start it. I mean, I'm just giving it back a little bit, but, I mean, you definitely started it.
I mean, Copy, can you appreciate – I mean, we've all been here for, like, 3 years now.
Oh, I'm not jealous at all. I'm not jealous.
And we've worked kind of hard. We started our podcast.
What makes you think I'm jealous?
I'm not saying you're jealous, but the way that you're talking to us right now definitely doesn't make it seem
like it's
just
a topic. When I heard that's what you're beginning with, I just rolled my eyes. I was like, come on. Well, your show's really good.
Well, why don't you listen from 6 to 8 and you can hear what we really begin with.
All right.
And then we'll have you on to critique their show on Monday.
I have no room to critique. I have a speech impediment, and my show's average. I have nowhere to critique.
Well, let's not go beating up on Hoppy again. I mean, we did that a little bit with each other the other night. But I think it's good that we have competition. I think
it
hopefully
brings out the
Hoppy now
everyone.
Has something to look up to. You know what I mean? A goal
well,
to aspire
easy there.
To.
This guy named Howard.
By the way, I am a Hoppy convert. You guys know I used to have a great disdain for Ryan Hoppy, and at some point in time, I'm not sure the exact moment, he won me over.
I'm not sure the moment either.
I don't know when it was, but one day I think I woke up and I'm like, man, I respect this kid's hustle, which I did say all along.
I think it was a tweet you sent out about how people take meds for their ADHD and their speech impediments, and I tweeted back at you, and you're like, I would love to come on Hoppy Hour sometime. I love how you're honest about taking Klonopin. That's what it was. There was a tweet we had where I talked about taking meds.
No, that wasn't it.
No. What a riveting tale. Jesus Christ.
I don't know when it was, but at some point in time, I said, man, this kid's got drive, enthusiasm.
Talent?
I didn't say that. But there is talent there. And I think harnessed properly, Ryan, you have a tremendous future.
Thank you.
And I think you guys should join forces and take over the radio world. Yes, Seth?
Ryan, is there anything you hear on the radio that isn't hacky?
I'll keep my mouth shut. I mean, there's times I hear things that I think are hacky, but I have no room to critique I have no room to critique any radio show ever, because the radio shows that I find hacky are being paid, they have agents, and they're in radio while I'm doing the show after hours when everyone's left Cox Media. So I have no room to ever critique a show.
I just got to ask you, though, because everything is hacky. Like, everything on the radio and every podcast is hacky, except for stuff you do.
That's true.
When you do the most cookie-cutter thing ever, and you're a grown adult, please zip up your pants.
I need to get new jeans. I've lost 22 pounds, and the problem is I don't fit into anything.
You look good, Hoppy. You look great.
You look great.
You look great.
You do.
I will say, I'm not trying to start any war with Hoppy.
I don't want a radio war. Radio wars are the 90s.
I know, they're so hacky.
They are hacky.
There's obviously a little bit of competitive fire between all of us.
Which is what we need. Radio needs that.
I do not hate Hoppy. Obviously, he doesn't feel the same way about it.
I don't think he hates you guys.
I don't hate you guys. I never said I did. I don't know where this came from.
Well, look, they've got tomorrow 6 to 8. I'm sure there's somewhere for you, Ryan. I'm sure we're going to have you on Monday to critique what we heard.
I just don't like how John thinks because I'm having this guy join my show that all of a sudden I'm copying you because you guys are the first show to ever have co-hosts. Like, oh, I'm bowing down to you guys.
Well, just
saying. Somebody got a picture of that, right?
Yeah.
You got pictures?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Snap a shot
Thank
of
you.
Blowing Jake.
It looked like a praying mantis on steroids.
All right. Well, this has been awesome. This has definitely been the highlight of the day
I'm
for
glad
me.
We saved it until the 5 o'clock
yeah,
hour.
Yeah, this definitely worked well when the most years are on our radio station. So thank you guys both. We wish you guys good luck for your crowd to take over tomorrow, 6 to 8. Ryan Hoppy, you know we love you and we're always here for you. You won us all over and then back over and then alienated us and then won us back again.
Somehow, yeah.
It's been some road. And we'll step aside and we'll return with more Drew Garabo Live. We're going to wrap this whole thing up.
Oh, we are?
I know. 727-579-1025 and 800-771-1025. We are live at the Walmart right in Lutz on Lando Lakes Boulevard. We still have a need for canned yams, for cereals, and for some other stuff as well. And we'll be right back with more Drew Garabo Live. We're going to talk to my very good friend, Laura Jane Grace, who is on our hotline right now. She was good enough to make some time for us. Her book is in stores right now. She had a big week with Seth Meyers, and she has somehow carved out time for this stupid radio show of ours. We've had her in studio a few times. I admire her as a person, musician, and now I am forced to admire her as an author as well, as Tranny has hit bookstores and the internet. Laura Jane Grace, thank you for making time for us. It's great to speak with you once again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Great to speak with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And has your life changed immeasurably like you thought it was going to now that Tranny, Confessions of Punk Rock's most infamous anarchist sellout, has hit stores?
Well, it's only been out for 3 days. So we've yet to see. So I'll update you later.
Please do. I know that you wrote a lot of stuff in there that you were very angst-ridden about other people reading, and I'm sure some of that is going to start trickling in. And it's got to be a pretty surreal feeling for you knowing that these thoughts that you have kept in diaries for decades are now out there for public consumption for the world to read.
Well, I mean, exactly as you said, you know, my book is based on journals, based on diaries. So I don't know if you've ever kept a diary, but the idea of someone reading your diary is quite terrifying. So making a whole book out of them is a little bit jarring. And I don't know, like doing signings where there's, you know, hundreds of books that have your face on it and your life story in it is definitely surreal. But it's out there, and I hope it does some good in the world.
Did it help prime the pump for you a little bit, Laura, that you had been somewhat autobiographical in your music, knowing that, you know, even kind of cloaked through music lyrics, these were still your thoughts that were out there and your hardcore fans who buy Against Me's albums and CDs, etc., they kind of got a lay of the land, or is it just a completely different animal knowing that these words are now there solidly in print for people to read?
No, I mean, you know, yeah, when it comes down to it, like, music is the most personal thing to me, and I've always put all myself into songwriting, so I'm used to that. I'm used to feeling exposed like that, but this is definitely, you know, a little more direct. There's not metaphor that I'm using or anything like that, so it's there for people to read, you know, but yeah, again, like, 3 days now, so I'm learning as I go.
How did it go on Seth Meyers this week? I saw the performance of 333, enjoyed it immensely, and I love that he is such a champion of your band. I assume that everything went smashingly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was great. That show has been so cool to us. Adam, who plays drums in my band, he's been house drummer on the show all week, and he's done that before. And, you know, they had us play, and it was my first time being a couch guest on a late night show like that, and it was really cool to meet Kathy Bates, and she couldn't have been sweeter. So yeah, that stuff is always just like so surreal. You're on TV. You're doing the thing you watched growing up.
Yeah, I saw the photo of you and Kathy Bates, and I was wondering if you went in here and said "Dirty Birdie" or anything from Misery. She seemed like a lovely woman, and I'm sure it was a highlight for you to meet her.
Yeah, she invited me to her cabin in the woods to work on a new book. So I'm in.
I'd be real careful about falling asleep and waking up with my feet hobbled. You wrote yourself out of your autobiography, Dirty Birdie, Dirty Birdie. We're speaking with Laura Jane Grace from Against Me. Her book, Tranny, is out this week. Seth Kushner, a question for Laura Jane Grace.
Laura, what kind of gifts and or fan art have you received so far at your book signings?
I have the best fans. So they, you know, I do get like a fair amount of art. I got a bottle of Russian vodka last night from a Russian fan of mine, which was awesome and very tasty. And I do have a slight hangover today.
That's a pretty sweet gift. I was listening to Andy Cohen on Howard Stern this week, and he said when he was doing his book signing, people give him joints, people give him weed lollipops.
They solicit him for a threesome.
And then they had a crazy story about a couple that solicited to him for a threesome. And he's a gold star gay, like had never been with a woman before, but he was solicited by a couple. And I didn't hear the end of the story, but I assume that he went all the way. Did he, Seth?
He didn't hook up with the woman.
Okay.
He did stuff with the guy, and then he watched the couple.
He watched them?
Yes.
And Andy Cohen watched them having sex?
Yes, that is correct.
Man alive. I don't know if you can expect the same rich experience with the Laura Jane Grace book signing.
She got the vodka.
but vodka's probably good enough for you, right, Laura?
Yeah, well, you know, as you'll read in my book, I'll try anything once or twice. So I'm open to the threesomes, and I definitely encourage the joints and weed lollipops.
you just took a train from New York to D.C. What do you have going on in our nation's capital right now?
I'm doing a book reading and talk tonight at a bookstore called Politics and Prose. And then tomorrow I'm headed to Florida. I'm going down to Miami for the Miami Book Fair.
Kick ass. All right. Well, enjoy yourself. Thank you again for making time for us. We always appreciate it. Always great to catch up with you. And I thoroughly encourage everyone out there to pick up Tranny, Confessions of Punk Rock's Most Infamous Anarchist Sellout, now in stores and online everywhere. Always great catching up, Laura, and safe travels to you.
Thanks much. Good talking with y'all.
Right back at you. Take it easy. Awesome. So proud of her. She's her transition's just been unbelievable. It's some story.